Have more than 50% go to WIS staff?
The court can do that. It's a minimum of 50%.
But your rule is drafted.
The rule is drafted, let's see.
It's a minimum.
I just didn't.
Not less than 50%, right. So it could be more than 50% if the court in its discretion decided to do
so
that.
So they could give it 100%.
That's correct.
But they can't give less than 50%.
They can't give less than 50%.
Right.
And that 50%, frankly, was a compromise. Some states.
Boy, this is the big compromise day.
Well, as it should be. There's a lot of interests that are competing here, but the trial judges have, or the chief judges really, have expressed concern about impinging on the trial court's discretion to distribute the residual funds to other organizations or for other purposes. And we were certainly cognizant of that issue when we put this proposal together, and that's why we came up with the 50%. Some states have 100%, but that doesn't leave the trial court with any discretion, and we thought it would be appropriate to designate 50% for access, and then the court can, if for instance there are nonprofits that have missions that are directly related to the subject of the particular class action, it can go to them. I'm wondering,
I have one more question.
I have.
Mr. Hearth?
Yes, ma'am.
We've gotten very few class action cases up here, so my thought has always been that we don't have very many in the state, which may be wrong. So, do you have any estimate? And was CCAP able to give you any estimate of how many class actions we have? And do you have any estimate of how much this would bring in?
Yes, we did look at that. There have been about 50 class actions over the past 10 years, so about 5 a year.
Okay, so I'm not wrong that there aren't too many here.
There aren't too many.
That doesn't mean they're not important.
Well, and we also hope that. By amending the statute, that will have at least encourage federal courts that are hearing cases in Wisconsin to follow suit. But as to how much it might raise, that's really kind of it's a hit or miss proposition. The court should have this report from the ABA Access to Justice Initiative, which goes through the experience of the 18 states that have enacted these type of rules. So
I did read that, but of course some of those states just are not comparable to Wisconsin in terms of how many class actions.
That's true. So, but Illinois, just to show you how it varies, Illinois, $5.3 million in 2013 and then $502,000 in 2014.
Yeah.
So only
quite
10%.
A difference.
Yeah, or Pennsylvania got $78,000 in 2013 and $2.2 million in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But even some of the smaller states have had some success with this. I'm looking at Hawaii, got $450,000 last year. I think it really depends on the luck of the draw to some extent, but every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain how this changes the status quo? What happens if we don't change the law? Where is the money?
Well, right now the residual funds go wherever the court directs that they go, and a lot of times that really means where the attorneys direct that they go. And so actually a lot of nonprofits taken it upon themselves to try to lobby groups that settle class actions to remember them. But there's no requirement that it go to any particular cause. It's whatever the court decides. The court could, as Justice Abramson suggested, could direct it to WIS staff under current rules. They just don't seem to do that.
It never goes back to the people who paid in the money.
It can. It can.
Ooh.
Yeah. It so. Can. And in fact,
the losers
we,
aren't
we don't,
here?
We don't. One of the provisions here is that the amendments don't prohibit the trial court from approving a settlement that does not create residual funds. But a lot of times courts feel that the wrongdoer shouldn't get the benefit of getting back the unclaimed portion, that it should go, I pray, for the public good.
Do any of them send it back to the plaintiffs who, members of the class action who did pick up their checks? I mean, the residual comes about several ways. The one way is people don't pick up their checks. They don't cash them.
That's right.
And so you got a kitty left over, even though it was allocated 100%. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay. So can they say, okay, everyone who picked up a check, now we're going to reallocate it to you in whatever proportion they were originally allocated or something else?
They could do that. Then there wouldn't be a residual fund, and that's permitted under this rule.
Now, I thought that the district courts in the federal system, some of them have rules about Cypre.
It's permitted. The Seventh Circuit has held that that is a proper way to dispose of residual funds. Generally speaking, the Seventh Circuit at least asks that the nonprofit who is receiving the benefit of those funds have some connection to the cause of action. So if it's a class action over an oil spill, maybe the Sierra Club gets the residual. But there's nothing in Federal Rule 23 that addresses it.
In fact, you're relying on a Seventh Circuit case for your concept that this is procedural, not substantive, as well as a U.S. Supreme Court case.
Right.
I read this material a while back, so I'm a little...
Shady Grove is the...
Is that the name of the case? Supreme I just Court couldn't case. Remember it. What's the downside?
I don't think there is a downside. I think it's free money. I mean, I guess the only downside is that 50% of these funds, the 50% that would go to WISDAF, wouldn't go to some other group that it otherwise would have. But certainly the plaintiff bar, the defense bar, are all for it. I think it comports with the whole theory of Cypre. I mean, the fact is class actions are a mechanism for permitting individuals who couldn't otherwise afford to bring a case to come into court. And I think it's consistent to provide the residual funds to those people who have the same pressing needs but can't bring a class action.
You didn't get any kickback from charitable organizations or nonprofits that were doing it?
No, in fact, we've got a lot of them supporting us.
Mm-hmm. So the only ones opposing it are the chief judges?
That's right, that I know of.
Is there opposition that they want no limits on their discretion?
That's how I read the letter. Judge Grimwalder's letter.
That's how I read it, too.
But, of course, in the real world, there are plenty of ways that trial court's discretion is limited. And, as I say, we tried to strike a balance there.
Counsel, I think you mentioned it earlier, and I may have missed the numbers. What's the financial impact of this? How much are we talking about?
again, it's difficult to predict. There are only maybe on average 5 class actions that are brought a year in state court. But other states have made significant recoveries.
But if you look back, you know, say in our state, 5 years or 10 years, what would it have been?
I can't say that. I do know the one state court class action that resulted in a substantial settlement and residual fund was the Microsoft case that Judge Sankovitz refers to in his letter.
Is that something that the chief judges might know, since they're the ones right now who have the responsibility?
I just don't know where that information would be collated. You can go to CCAP and find out how many class actions were filed, but I don't know how
there's got to be an easier way.
Yeah, and a lot of times the settlements are confidential.
Well, but the amounts of money going into the kitty would not be
not be
confidential, because there would be no way to associate. I think that would be an interesting piece of information to know.
Yeah, I think the best way to gauge it, though, is to look at the experience in other states, which shows you that it sort of fluctuates wildly depending on the
year.
That's
where you and I disagree, because I think the best way to predict would be to know what the numbers have been in this state for the past 10 years. So it's not a deal breaker, but I think it would be helpful to know what the effect of our vote would be one way or the other. So you'd like to know
in class actions that have been settled in state court what happened, how much of the residual funds there were and where they went.
Over a defined period of
time,
and I'm picking 5 years or 10 years just sort of out of the air because they're good numbers. And that's what you don't know.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of ways to find out. It's not.
I can think of some ways to find out too. Please go on to whoever else has another question.
Well, from your perspective, it doesn't matter.
Of course not. But it would be interesting for us to know the effect of our order.
From your perspective, if there's nothing this year, nothing lost by having a rule like this.
Of course.
I don't think so.
And if there happens to be a small amount, you get a small amount. And if there's a large amount...
It would be better than nothing, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So from your perspective, and when I say you, I mean the Access to Justice Commission and anyone who wants to see increased funding for civil litigation for people who can't afford counsel, it's a win-win. Because it doesn't take anything away from anyone except the other charitable organizations or the trial court's discretion. And it does get money in. And what seems to be happening is to try a whole variety of things with no assurance that any one of them is going to produce. And the hope is that by adding them all together, you might get a change. I mean, that's how I see it from this petition and the one we heard this morning and several others that we've been hearing.
I agree.
And that's a completely understandable and completely logical position. In fact, it would be the only position for you to take, which would not be nonsensical. I point out most judges want to know what the effect of their vote or what their order is going to be. And I'm not suggesting to you that there's any sort of deal-breaking in the offing, but it's something that, as a former circuit court judge, I always wanted to know what the effect of my order was going to be. And as a member of this court, I like to have an idea. So. From your perspective, it would be nonsensical for you to take any other position. So I appreciate the position you have articulated and staked out, and I appreciate your candid responses. They've been helpful.
Can WIT staff give a grant or any kind of a donation to
a nonprofit organization that is not a state entity?
I don't know the answer to that. Kevin Palmersheim is here from WISTAP, and I'm sure he could answer.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, they're limited to giving it to entities that deal with individuals, and then there's a small amount of money that they can give elsewhere. And I'm assuming that your 50% has to go to the entities that give direct service.
Yes. It goes to WISTAP to support direct delivery of legal services to persons of limited means in non-criminal matters.
Which is what their money is limited to, except for a small amount that is a broader kind of view, but needs the court approval to even get into that pot, as I remember with staff.
Could you help me know the logistics under the current law, under 80308. As a circuit court judge, I never had either tried a class action or approved the settlement of a class action that I can recall. So how does it unfold? I know we have the letter from Judge Sankovitz that was sent to us dated April 6, 2020. 16 that informs what his experience is, and how he endorses your proposal and your petition, and that, as I recall, if I read it correctly, that he thinks he maybe has handled more of these than most in this state. He did the Microsoft one, I think. How does it work? If it settles, in terms of right now, who decides where it goes? In response to an earlier question, you seem to suggest that the attorneys decide where it goes. And yet, the concern of some judges is that it takes away their authority, your petition, takes away their authority to decide where the whole amount goes. So how does it unfold? Describe the procedure for me, if you know.
Okay, well, I think I know. 95% of class actions settle.
Sure.
Okay. And so what will happen is the plaintiff for the attorneys for the class will negotiate an agreement
mm-hmm.
with the defendant. Defendant will pay X amount of money.
I understand
into the
pot. First part. It's the unclaimed funds, the residual.
Okay.
That's what they want to focus.
Part
on.
Of the agreement. Part of the agreement will address the unclaimed funds, and the parties will agree that those funds go to wherever. And at least in my experience, it's usually the plaintiff's attorney has a pet project and the defendant's attorney has a pet project, and they agree that it'll go to those projects.
Is it your experience that then the judge has to approve?
Doesn't have to, but usually does.
But there's no need to get judicial approval?
Oh, there is. No, there is. They have... This settlement has to be approved. The judge has to say it's fair to the class and
but
all
specifically
that.
Specifically with regard to the unclaimed amount,
specifically
the
with
amount.
The unclaimed amount, that has to be approved by the trial judge. But, at least in my experience, trial judge will usually accept, you know, the deal. Unless it was something outrageous or really inappropriate. Mm-hmm. If the plaintiff wants to give 50% to the American Heart Society and defendant wants to give 50% to Red Cross, whatever, the judge would be okay with that, usually, I think. But I will say that I'm aware of situations where, so for instance, one of my partners is active in the American Constitution Society, and they want to raise money. And one of the things they're doing is asking their members to go out and lobby class action lawyers to remember them when it's time to settle. Nothing against American Constitution Society. They're one of many groups that do that. But it's all kind of haphazard, and apparently no one ever really thinks, gee, it'd be good to give some money to
the Federalist Society, which is the other side of the coin for
right. Well, maybe they're doing the same. I'm not touching that, but yeah. I'm just
smart
saying.
Smart man.
I'm just saying that it's kind of random now, and nobody really seems to think about access to legal services.
And with the statutory change, then they'd have to look at that as would they?
They would indeed.
Okay.
Can an organization like Legal Action of Wisconsin file a class action claim?
I don't know. There may be restrictions on that.
We cannot, under federal regulations. We cannot litigate a class action. We can receive cyber awards, but we cannot litigate a class action.
Are we picking him up? No. You'd have to come to the microphone, otherwise we won't have a record of this. And if you want to,
he's going to be speaking later. Okay. He'll bring it up when he speaks to us
all right,
later.
Don't forget, please.
Since I don't really understand precisely how this mechanism works, I'm thinking of unclaimed property that goes over to the state at some point. But it can be claimed later on if somebody who's entitled to it shows up. I suppose the residual pot, once it's distributed, it cuts off anyone who might have been eligible. Is that right?
Exactly.
How do you determine what that date is?
I'm sorry?
How do you determine when?
It's part of the the settlement that becomes the order that the trial court issues, that anyone wishing to make a claim on the settlement funds must do so by whatever date. And if you don't get your coupon back by that date, then your money goes into the residual funds pot. Thank you.
Mr. Cagle, you are our next batter today on this petition.
Good afternoon. I spoke at some length this morning on a different subject, so I'll try to be extraordinarily brief this time. I'm really here only to establish that the State Bar of Wisconsin did consider this proposal and did pass it unanimously. And we feel that this is, again, part of the general effort to try to identify resources to deal with the absence of representation for people of limited means. There is the question that I think has been just touched upon briefly, and others will address it better than I will, and that is the question of, is WISTAF the appropriate agency to whom to direct these funds? And I have to say that issue didn't arise at the time that the bar considered this, but it has been discussed since. And I think I can accurately say the feeling of the bar is that WISTAF is, in fact, the agency that would be the most appropriate. They've been dealing with this issue of how to distribute limited dollars to address this problem for a very long time, and in my view, they've done it enormously successfully. And they have, I think, perhaps the best perception, best view of the nature of unmet legal needs in this state. So So I think it is the most efficient and the most effective way to do that. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The legislature, when they appropriated funds for this, appropriated them to WISTAF.
The legislature has. I didn't hear the first part of the question, I'm sorry.
Several years ago,
correct,
when the legislature appropriated funds for unmet civil,
correct,
defense or civil legal needs, gave it to WISTAF, as I remember it. Now, that's not true in this last round. But
it hasn't been. In fact, I think the accurate fact is some years ago, funding to WISTAF was cut off.
Right. Yes, but it was one of the original things, and we gave lawyer assessments to WISTAF. The $50 that we assessed,
correct,
lawyers,
yeah,
goes to WISTAF.
You did establish an assessment 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember the exact time, that each lawyer in the state pays toward that. I think it's an appropriate, you know, assessment to make on lawyers. It was controversial at the time to some extent, but that provides some funding. The problem has always been with WISTAF is that originally, of course, as you all know, it drew upon the resources of funds that were kept in trust accounts. And what has been a benefit to some people is very low interest rates has devastated that fund or that source of funding. And that's why WISTAF is always one of the reasons why WISTAF has been working from a deficit since then.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Cagle?
Thank
I guess
you.
Not. Thank you very much.
I have one other. Are there law firms in Wisconsin that concentrate on class actions?
I think there are.
Need to be in front of the microphone?
Mr. Chief. Excuse me.
Thank you.
There are certainly law firms who do class actions. I can't think of a law firm that concentrates specifically on doing it, although some law firms have done a good number of class actions. Maybe someone else knows the answer to that question more specifically than I do.
Thank you. Marsha Mansfield.
Good afternoon, Justices. Thank you very much for hearing this petition. I, too, am speaking on behalf of the Access to Justice Commission. This issue of CyPRE actually arose in my resource development committee back in 2011. So we've been looking at this and studying it and understanding how it's been approached in other jurisdictions for quite some time before we filed our petition before you. And I really can't say much more than Mr. Harth has already said. But I just want to remind you that both the Conference of State Chief Justices and the Conference of State Court Administrators jointly endorsed two resolutions about a year ago, I think, that reaffirmed the court's commitment to access to justice. And I know this court has a strong commitment to access to justice. And that resolution one set, if you remember, the aspirational goal of 100% access to justice services, and the other promoted best practices for funding legal aid. In this petition for directing the CyPRE award in the manner that we've requested is really consistent not only with what this court has stood for in the years that I have been on the commission and before, but also with these resolutions. And it is, as Justice Abrahamson pointed out, just simply another way to try to meet the huge need for legal services in our state. And WISTAF is an appropriate vehicle for not only the reasons that both Mr. Cagle and Mr. Harth have said, but I also echo the fact that it really is a neutral organization. It's not favored by the defense bar. It's not favored by the plaintiff's bar. It's favored by those of us who are in support of providing legal services to those who otherwise wouldn't be able to access them. And
can WISTAF, if it gets this money, pass or grant money on to the Access to Justice Commission?
I think that, and Kevin Paulersheim is here from WISTAF, so he can answer that. But
okay.
I think the money would be directed towards direct legal services. So it would actually go to the service providers, such as Legal Action in Wisconsin or Central Legal or some other appropriate
agency. What I was looking at was
agency.
More specific. I know that Access to Justice has financing needs to keep its doors open.
Right.
Okay. And actually, when I read this and the support that you give it, I was a little surprised that you didn't have your voice out there saying, well, you know, per year, $20,000 of this money should be allocated to Access to Justice so that it has ongoing funding that it needs internally to move forward.
Right, but really the whole idea of the CyPRE award is to be awarding those funds as near as practical to other entities whose work is closely aligned with the underlying lawsuit. And I think WISTAP is really in the best position to direct those funds. I'm not sure that it would be appropriate to direct those funds to the commission.
Okay, thank you.
That would have to come under, if it were directed to the commission, 13.032B. 1303-2B.
1303-2B of what, Justice Abrahamson? I'm sorry.
Of the SCRs.
Oh, the rule.
Yes,
correct.
Sure. That's right. That's what I have to come. And it would have to need the, it would need the court approval to do that.
Correct.
We haven't asked for that. We've been asked for that for a while, come to think of that. No program has come to us and said we want some of the WISTAP money.
I think the commission's general feeling is that the money from WISTAP is better off, limited as it is, to funding the great need for civil legal services in our state.
Has anyone nominated you for the Nobel Peace Prize?
I'm waiting for you to do it.
Well, we understand that you might be performing a great service for the court in the future. And now you've made this eloquent statement on behalf of services to people who need, and not grabbing any money for the Access to Justice Commission. I mean, can we have a motion on the Nobel?
We're going to have a competency hearing. There's money out there, why aren't you grabbing it? That's the usual rule.
Thank you, Justice Prosser. That's very touching.
I'm still going to be very curious to see what his announcement for what he's running for is going to be. I'll vote for you, David.
Thank you.
And so will Ms. Mansfield.
Certainly will. I know you had a long morning, so if there aren't any further questions, I'll take my seat. Thank you all very
Thank you
much.
Very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Pfeiffer, you are the next one on the hit parade this afternoon.
Thank you, Chief Judge Rogensack and Justices. I'm here in support of the petition. I want to answer a couple of questions that came up earlier for you. WISTAP funds community organizations, and it runs from the very small volunteer legal aid societies that are around the state to Legal Action of Wisconsin, which is the largest because we have to cover 39 counties and about 88% of the population, I think. So there's a big breadth of what their obligation is. They do not fund government entities, as I have understood it. The issue of class actions, the majority of the money for Legal Action of Wisconsin and for Judicare come from the Legal Services Corporation. It's a congressionally chartered corporation. There are a set of federal regulations that govern our work. One of them is an absolute bar on litigating class actions. That's existed since about 1996. We don't engage in them. It's not our part of the business. Our part of the business is to deal with the problems of poor people on a day-to-day basis.
It would probably be hard for a class action because you could have the rich and the poor all involved in the same lawsuit,
It's possible. Mm-hmm. From our standpoint, it is what it is. We have a job to do, and we're going to do it the way we're authorized to do it. You have a letter from me, so I don't want to rehash that. I want to tell you I fully support what Judge Sankovitz has said. I thought he did an eloquent job of explaining why the discretion issue is not quite as important as some other people may think that it is. I really want to focus on the sort of strategic reasons that I would like you to do this. And the one you already understand, and that is the need. Your letter seeking the alleged counsel is, you know, gives ample voice to that, and I don't think I need to spend time on that. But the other part, Justice Abramson?
If we should adopt this, then WISTAF is going to get maybe a little money, maybe a lot of money.
Correct.
Could they give any of that to you, or does it have to be a segregated?
No, they could. Money? They could give it to us.
Even though you can't do class actions, you could benefit from this.
Yes, because it is the CyPray award, it is not the class action itself.
I just wanted to make that clear because I can remember the days when the class action issue was strongly fought and legal services opposed the limitation because class actions was a way of getting justice for many people in a similar boat on issues you were all interested in.
There are issues of efficiency.
That's right. And now you have to do it one case at a time, which is a little more difficult.
Correct.
Okay.
We are, for instance, just finishing, or finished last year, perhaps, a CyPray award that came through WISTAF, as an example. So there is history behind this. You talked a lot about how small the number of class actions are in Wisconsin, and frankly, I don't think that's the significant issue. The significant issue is what we can say to the federal bench, what we can say to the federal lawyers.
This doesn't govern the federal
bench. It doesn't govern them, but it provides them with a concept to think about. And the thinking on my part and some other people, I think, is that you get it out there so that the lawyers have a framework to talk with the judge about it, the lawyers think about it, and the judge can sit, look at it and go, okay, I can figure out how to do this under the rules related to Nexus for the federal bench. So strategically, this court's ability to set out a set of guidelines to approach this, I think, is helpful. And there's much, much more money sitting in Chicago and in Minneapolis that could come to Wisconsin than does ultimately in terms of the way CyPray currently exists. I agree with a comment that was made earlier. People forget about legal services. They just forget about it. The lawyers litigate it, and they look at it, and they look at it as a social problem. So we're going to give it to nonprofits to do social work. And the reality is, with that came a bundle of legal problems as well. And part of the objective here is to help solve the legal problems that inform and affect that particular class action.
So you expect a Minnesota court to give it to WISTAF?
That is our hope. If there are clients, if part of the class is from Wisconsin, yes.
But it doesn't bind them either. It doesn't bind
Minnesota. No, nothing is going to bind the federal court from this court. It's simply, how do we create a frame? You know, we're sort of moving the concept. We're getting a consensus built over time. And every little piece sort of informs and moves this ahead a little bit. That's the way I approach it. The other part has to do with the legislature. We're all asked. I believe you have been asked. I know we have been asked. Well, why don't you look over here for money? Why don't you look over there for money? Why don't you have a bake sale? The answer is we are. We are trying all of those things. This is another piece of that effort to say, look, we're trying everything we can do. The court's trying everything it can do. The bar is trying what it can do. The reality is we do need to seek ultimately a stable stream of money for civil legal services out of the legislature. And I think everybody knows that. It is simply how are we going to build this consensus and build the framework. And this is just one piece. So I would hope that you adopt it. Thank you.
I was waiting for you to say, in connection with your suggestion, that why don't you have a bake sale? You started out right. This is just another piece of the, and I, what should you have said? Pie. That's right. This is just another piece of the pie, but you know, this is just another piece of the
My wife would tell you that that's correct, because I will eat pie any day before cookies.
Okay.
When you alluded to, I think it was Minnesota and Illinois, does that apply to Iowa and Michigan?
It would. Any class action that would affect individuals in Wisconsin, there needs to be some resolution for how the residuals are distributed in that state.
Theoretically, could it be California, New York as well?
Yeah.
Are there any federal courts doing that now?
I believe the last Cypre Keith can may be able to address this a little bit. I believe the last Cypre from WISTAT was out of a Chicago case, as an example. I'm not certain of that. Oh, Kevin? Oh, okay. It was out of Washington. So it does happen, and we're just trying to lay it out there for folks so they don't ignore us.
So your education is more than Wisconsin lawyers, more than Wisconsin courts. It's a national education for any class action in any state or federal court, and give the money to Wisconsin.
You bet. Actually, I'd be happy if they give it all to us, but I'll take this next year.
50%.
No, 50% of all of it I'll take.
All right. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yep. Thank you.
Jim Gramling.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice Rogozak and members of the court. I'm Jim Gramling, and I do appear in my capacity as president of the Access to Justice Commission this afternoon, speaking, of course, in support of the petition that our commission has filed with you. The speakers have covered a lot of territory that I might have otherwise, so I'll make perhaps 3 points. When I came on the commission 3 years ago, I looked at the mission that the court created for us in SCR 14, and I was concerned about our ability to meet the goals that you had set for us. I've had the opportunity, since I've been on the commission, to see the role that this court has played, and I believe that this petition can be seen properly as part of a string of very important rulings made by the court on rule changes. As you'll recall, over the last 2 years, the court has seen it has gone ahead with significant rule changes, expanding limited scope representation, providing guidance to trial judges in cases involving self-represented litigants, and through the pro hoc vice fee increase. Looking at this petition and the one that was heard this morning really puts this in a context of important moves made by this court to improve the landscape for unrepresented people, people who cannot afford attorneys in Wisconsin. Professor Mansfield made mention of the resolution passed by the Conference of Chief Justices in 2015, and our chief was part of the meeting that resulted in the passage of this resolution. And I wanted also just to cite some of the language there. Most importantly, in relation to this proposal, the heads of the courts in all 50 states determined and said that the judicial branch has the primary leadership responsibility to ensure access for those who face impediments that they cannot surmount on their own. So it wasn't the legislature, it was the justices said that it's the judicial branch that has the responsibility to do this. And in my view, this petition would, again, enhance the vanguard leadership that this court has shown. But it also would give to the trial courts in the state the opportunity to participate more fully in meeting that responsibility of providing access to low-income people with respect to their essential civil legal needs. As David Harth commented, we've sought the support of organizations around the state before we filed the petition with you. And we got a broad range of support, the civil legal aid providers, of course, and WISTAF, the state bar. And interestingly, the Wisconsin Trial Judges Association sent a letter to the court last year, July 2 of 2015, in support of this petition, or the proposal. The petition hadn't been filed yet. They got ahead of us a little bit, but they indicated their support for the proposition. The concern expressed by the chief judges is one that, of course, you'll have to consider. They deserve your respect, and they have mine. But I think this petition asks you and all of us to look more broadly than they have looked, to accept further the role that Chief Justice's resolution does, and that's to accept the role that this branch must play in the pursuit of access to justice. So balancing the scales for the neediest among us in this state is important, and this rule change will allow you one more opportunity to accomplish that. And I certainly hope that you will approve it. One last point on the out-of-state cases. Our lawyers in our state go and practice under pro hoc vice rules in other states and do class action work in other states. And again, it'll be a matter of promoting this, just like the rule change that was advocated this morning. There has to be some promotion that goes with this. But when our attorneys go out to other states and litigate class actions there, and there's an amount left over in those class action settlements, they'll have the opportunity now to tell judges in other states and federal courts in other states, I'd like some of that money to come back to my state, and they'll be able to explain why. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Kevin Palmerstein.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chief Justice and fellow justices. I'm Kevin Palmersheim. I'm currently on the board of directors for WISTAF, serve as their vice president, and am here to speak in favor of the petition as well as address concerns and questions that have been raised. As this body knows, WISTAF was created by the court in 1986. Its role is to collect funds and efficiently grant them to organizations that provide legal services to those in need, and that need is defined as 125% or below the poverty line. So I think it's important to start when we analyze this petition by noting that this court has already set up an entity with policies and procedures in place and with court oversight to administer funds such as the funds that would be available based on the petition. I sincerely respect and understand the opposition from the chief judges concerning the request for absolute discretion. I would note that the proposed rule would still grant discretion on up to 50% of the funds that are available. I would also offer that for some of the reasons that have been stated, discretion is not always the easiest for the trial judges to exercise without the resources to know what to do. Judge Stankovitz identified some of those, but I would state in addition, and several of you have been trial judges, and when you are asked to exercise discretion, you usually have resources to bank on, whether they be in criminal cases, sentencing guidelines, or case law, or bench books, or other things that you have available. As Justice Ann Walsh Bradley stated, she was on the bench and never had a class action. Quite often, this might be a once-in-a-lifetime event for a trial judge. So to have to exercise discretion in a completely unfamiliar circumstance is an unwieldy, if not difficult, just merely difficult process. Meanwhile, WISTAF is set up to do precisely what is designed to be done with these funds, and that is evaluate where we can get the most bang for the buck. Evaluate which organizations can take those limited funds that may be available and provide legal services to those in need.
Can Access to Justice Commission, can you give them money to keep their doors open?
We can't give them money out of the CyPRE funds. WISTAF can provide money under what's called the IOLTA 2 funding, mm-hmm, for projects that organizations maybe wanting to undertake. Otherwise, the charter that's been by this court is it has to go towards the direct legal services.
Okay, thank you.
That when you say two, it's 13.032A2. That's what you're referring to, isn't
2A1,
it?
2A1, maybe.
For the project?
Yes.
Yes, I believe so. I don't have the statute memorized, Justice, but yes.
I don't know why not.
But if it mentions project, then yes, that's the one I'm talking
okay.
about. And the other thing that I think, and Justice Gableman, you were raising some questions on the amount of money that would be freed. Most of the time in the individual cases, what we're talking about from WISDAP's budgeting perspective, we're talking about a total of maybe tens of thousands in a year, not hundreds of thousands or millions. And we have a difficult time. We'd like to know, too, just for planning purposes, but it is hard to kind of determine when funds are going to be available. Most of the cases where there's residual funds, we're talking about a relatively small amount. And so we need to leverage that the most that we can. And that's another way where WISDAP is set up to do that. That's what we do on an annual basis. Occasionally, you will have, you know, a big hit on a class action settlement. And I don't know how much was left on Judge Sankovitz's Microsoft case, but that's a big hitter. And those don't come around very often. But that's a case then where the discretion of the judge under the petition to free up 50% of that money, which would be a significant amount of money, the judge would then have the time to analyze and evaluate, you know, based on the money that's available, where that could go to best use. Meanwhile, when we're talking about smaller funds, WISDAP has a grant process in place. The staff internally, which is very lean, with one full-time and 2 3/4 time people, evaluate each grant. There are 15 directors on WISDAP. 4 of them are judges. At least 2 of the directors evaluate in detail each grant application. And then we have a grant committee process where we review and decide what to award. And some of our awards are relatively small when you think of it, but they have great impact. I'll just use one for example. The Legal Aid Society of Door County, we granted $9,000 last year. Their entire budget for the year is $12,000. Most of that, the $9,000, is for a part-time attorney. Meanwhile, they leverage that. There are 25 attorneys up there in private practice. 18 of them contribute pro bono efforts on an annual basis, on average, to this program. So we're talking about taking a small amount of money, giving it to an organization that can really make it work. And that's why, you know, it's significant to allow WISDAP to administer these funds. WISDAP does have experience, some of the questions the court asked, in administering both unrestricted funds that come in from sources as well as restricted funds. If you look at the petition, the second 50% could be restricted by a judge but still be allocated to WISDAP. I don't know, Justice Abrahamson, if that was your question earlier when you were talking about state money being contributed. There was unrestricted money contributed by the state for legal services, but that ended about 2011. However, in the last cycle, the state did authorize $1 million in the biennium for services for domestic violence and sexual assault and for legal services related to that. They named in the statute WISDAP to administer those funds. In a short amount of time, starting last August, WISDAP negotiated with the Department of Children and Families to set up a procedure to develop a grant process, to have the state approve that procedure, collected the first $500,000 of that money, and have already allocated that, met, gone through the grant proposals, and distributed it.
That was money that went to the department. WISDAP may have been involved, but it went to the department. In fact, we heard about it at a meeting that the court held with the Access to Justice Commission. And at that meeting, which was within the last couple of weeks, if my recollection is correct, no money had yet been put out because there were still negotiations about all of this, and the department is not so happy that it's sharing what it considers its money with not its own entity. So I'm glad the legislature gave the money. I'm hoping that it will go to legal services. But it's an example of how tricky, in the sense of getting the actually getting the money out to legal services. And if I'm giving the wrong message, you can get the right message from Jim Gramling and from Mr. Harris and Ms. Mansfield and the other people who were at that meeting where this was discussed. So. that doesn't mean anything other than I'm glad WISTAF is involved. The court had a meeting with WISTAF several years ago, and there was some dispute in WISTAF at that time among the various legal services providers of whether they were getting their fair share or was being shared out with other entities. Because 9,000 is great for Door County, and I'm familiar with the program, and you're right, it was really marvelous. On the other hand, $9,000 for legal action that represents 88% of the population in 39 counties, they need the $9,000 too.
Absolutely.
So there was a dispute at that time about WISTAF and what it was doing, and we heard how you did do the grants, and I must say it was very impressive in that you had a grant application system. It was reviewed independently by several people in WISTAF, and it seemed to me open and transparent at the time, and I assume it hasn't changed.
That's absolutely true. It is so, and we try to work closely with the grant applicants. The staff mainly works with them to make sure their grant application is as good as possible. And then even after we've granted money, the directors individually every year visit each of the grantees,
right,
and have in-person interviews on site, go over financials, and have that oversight before the next grant cycle.
So that there's a personal touch to it, and it's not just paper.
Right, right. And it is all on a volunteer basis, and you know, it's not even a mileage thing for the judges and the attorneys who volunteer. And non-lawyers as well.
That was my impression of the WISTAF. Now, I noticed that was something I never noticed before, that the SCR 1303 uses the phrase limited means, which I fussed about in the last hearing. And that's in 13.03 2A1. To aid the courts and improve the administration of justice by providing legal services to persons of limited means. That's the direct grants. And I'm just assuming there it doesn't take on the same significance because what you're doing is giving it to entities that service people according to their criterion.
Well, yes, our internal rules do limit it to the 125% of the federal poverty line.
Okay.
And that would be roughly $14,000 for an individual, $29,000 for a family of four.
And so if legal action changed its criterion and handled more people, which it probably couldn't under their rules, then you wouldn't give to them.
Not necessarily. We actually do give to organizations that serve other people of means or that of limited means that are above that. Our money has to be used specifically for the population that fits within that.
Okay.
That 125%.
So not everybody has to fit the federal guideline.
Right. Right.
So
and there's some.
It does have significance.
Correct. And we do grant to organizations that do serve other populations.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
Any other questions? Okay, thank
you
very much.
How long have you been on it, Mr. Power?
This is my 4 years I've been on it, yes.
I'm sensing Nobel Peace Prize, Mr. Power. Fingers crossed.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Let me know when you're ready.
We'll get ready.
Mr. Hart, do you want to come back up to the podium to see if anybody on the bench here has another question for you that has not been asked or anything you want to explain given what's been said?
One point I would like to make, from the commission standpoint, the Wisconsin Access to Justice Commission, we try not to compete with the nonprofits for funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't want, aren't asking for any of the funds that would be generated from this proposal. We need to go
You've
elsewhere.
Been very consistent on that.
Yes.
Because otherwise you take away from your purpose.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and thank you for taking all the time that it does take to put one of these together and take time out of your day. I know you had a few other things you might have been doing today. So we do appreciate you doing that. We appreciate all of the people that came to speak to us today. I'm about to conclude this hearing. Is there anybody that isn't on my list that I haven't called on that came to speak to this petition? Okay, well, thank you once again. We are going to take a break. It's, 20 minutes to 3, and we will come back out and meet in open conference at about 10 minutes to 3. Thank you. We are adjourned.